For more audios, go to www.wordchurch.biz. That's B-I-Z.
Well, today I will share some things in my heart for this week. Well, actually, 2-3 weeks now. And, you know, during the week, you go to different places and you see different people and, you know, and it's amazing how God connects people and you show up right place, right time and help somebody. As Scott said earlier, you know, help the people who are in need and help people be there for them. And, you know, several days ago, we met several Chinese people, and you know, because I'm Chinese, they start talking to me, and they just come here about less than 1 month, and their English is not good. Maybe they only can, you know, speak just a little English, and they want to find some place who they can, you know, learn to speak English for free. And you know, when you come from another country, you really don't know what's available here, and you don't know how to find the information which can help you. And you know, because Don is there, and Don's phone can get on online. Right then, I talked to them and translated from English to Chinese to tell them Don can help them to find free English lesson, which, you know, community literacy center. If you go there, you learn to speak English for free. But if you go to like OCU, English as a second language, or Adama, English as a second language, it's cost a lot. So, you know, when people come from another country, they don't know what's ahead of them. And so they try to pitch every penny. They try to learn to speak English and know the culture of American culture. And, you know, yes, Don spent some time go online to find several places where can you go study English for free. Yes, he spent some time. But for these Chinese people, it's a blessing, big blessing for them. And after we left, I told Don, you know, I see how blessed I am. When I come here, I have people to teach me how to drive and bring me to shopping and teach me English. And, you know, because the kindness of a Christian, now I am a Christian, you know, because I am blessed, now I have the ability to help others. Let's turn to Philippians 2, start chapter 2, verses 3 to 8. Here said, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard it equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You know, how to help others? How, you know, we hear lots of people say that I want to be a vessel to serve the Lord. A lot of things easy to say, difficult to do. It's how you hear the small voice to obey the Lord, to go to the place where it's not in your plan. It is important to hear from God. How do you hear from God? Yes, of course, read the Bible and pray. But I think what the Lord wants us to do is to obedience to the Lord. Because a lot of people, you know, they know the word. They can quote the Bible. But when you see their life, you don't see the fruit. To be servant of God is to willing to do the things other people don't want to do. And it's willing to, like a dog, clean the toilet. Or then I help buy that clear cover for the sun sheet. Or Miranda brought food for the church. It's by little things. Because one day you live, you need food to eat and water to drink. And you need to use the bathroom also. Sorry, this sounds not holy, but as a human being, we need to sleep, we need to walk, and this God provide a necessity. And you know, a lot of time we think about the big things and we forgot small things, sometimes more important than big things. Because the big things is to use small things to build it up. Last time I would say, you know, Chinese proverb said, one meal cannot make you fat. And 3 feet thick ice is not formed by one overnight cold. We need to understand how to be a servant. Because it's important. You know, I am Christian because a lot of Christians, they obey the Lord. They reach out to me when I don't know the Lord. They show me the goodness. And they are so happy. And I ask, why are you so happy? You know, and why are you happy? You know, no way I can repay you. But are you helping me anyway? Why? And they tell me about Jesus. They tell me about Jesus said, go to the end of the earth to preach the good news, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to set captive free. Wow! And also I see how God uses daily life to show how much he cares about us. Actually, he's not only care about us, also he care about the animal. Today I talked to Kathy because Adam go to Canada to see his daughter. So I called Kathy. And Kathy said, I'm at a vet clinic because the cat, she rescued a cat called the Ball of Fire, and she spent a lot of time to heal this, to help this cat, because this cat was abused by somebody, and so this cat is really, really, you know, defender himself, not very friendly to the people, whatever. Kathy spent a lot of time with the cat. Today, Kathy found the cat didn't feel well, so she brought the cat to the vet. Even though this cat is an animal, but God sent somebody care for this cat. You know, Kathy not only take care of this cat, but also spend lots of money on the cat because she care about this cat. You know, and in the Bible, it said, you know, you are evil, but you know how to treat your kids. How Heavenly Father loves you, care about you. I was very blessed by Kathy because I see how blessed this cat is. You know, through this cat, not only I see the Lord loves us, but also how much the Lord loves the animals, because these animals give us companionship and they give us a lot of comfort. And you know, cat and a dog, they are big things in America. More than half the American family has either cat or dog, you know. Our neighbor's dog come to our place every time we come home, and every time we leave the house, we have average about like 4 dogs show up, and we buy big bag of dog's food. We got a permission from dog's owner. We can give dogs treats, and you know, even though we don't own the dog because we are out of town a lot, but the Lord used our neighbor's dog to bless us. Every time when our car get into our driveway, they are coming. And all we did is just give them a few dog bones, you know? Once a week, I will pull trash can to the on the road at the curb, and I will ask the dog to walk with me. You know, so Bumble will walk with me, and my house is like in the middle of a half acre, so it's kind of a long way. So I said, Bumble, go with me, and Bumble walk with me. And sometimes Spanky go with me. You know, they bring a lot of joy to us, even though we didn't own a dog, but God used our neighbor's dog to blessing us. Sometimes in the midnight, we hear the dog barking because, you know, we live in the country. And at one time, I saw a wolf in the distance, you know. And of course, we saw lots of cute rabbits. We see lots of cute rabbits. God cares about us. Yesterday, I prepared a message for Sunday morning, and it's about the prayer about the unknown, because, you know, so many people talk to me during the week about they are wondering. They are wondering, and they don't know which way to go. And some of them, it's like a fork in front of them. It's time for them to make choice, but they don't know which way to go. So they are kind of didn't have the peace. They are wondering, what if they miss God? What if they make a wrong choice? What if? What if? Anyway, when I talk to them, you know, I pray for them. These are the things I have one lady taught me. If anybody asks you for help or asks you pray, you pray with them right then. pray with them right then. You don't need a long prayer. There is time for long prayer. You know, we used to go to Brother Hagen's church a lot, and Brother Hagen, especially the senior, talk about he would spend hours to praying. You know, he would spend hours to pray, and there is time for long pray for people, but a lot of time you don't need to pray long prayer, especially the people who are Christian. They know the importance of prayer, but sometimes their face just here, and all you need to do is just a little bit of push, they are there. You know, I have several ladies, they talk to me, and I mean, I only spend about like 5 minutes. After 5 minutes, I said, oh, do you feel better? Oh, yes, thank you. Now, you know, I just have peace. Sometimes all you need to do is point it out. God is with you. God hear your prayer. And God will answer your prayer. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Let's start 18. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always preserve in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an absender in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak. When you pray, it's not only the Lord will lead you step by step, but also when you pray for others, Lord will make known to them, to let them know they can hear from God. You know, you hear lots of people say one word from God can change your life. And a lot of time we pray for people, especially now, I will pray for them have encounter with God, especially for the Christians. Because if they have encounter with God, then nobody can talk them out. You know, in the Bible talk about the Christians should gather together to pray together, to sing psalms and hymns and lay hands on each other, to encourage each other. And because through that, the Lord will manifest in the midst of our life. And through that, build up our faith. Sometimes the Lord will work. The Lord will remind us how the devil trying to come, kill, destroy, and deceive. Let you think negative things, and you know, and sometimes you think you were surprised to see yourself. You think negative, and before you know it, you are already depressed. And these are things that I told my friends. I said, when you feel lonely, when you feel depressed, you call me or call somebody until you reach somebody. If you call me, I didn't answer, you call Don didn't answer, or call Adam or Kathy or Scott or Dana until somebody answered your phone. Because the power of prayer, the power of agreement, we are Christians, we are children of God. We have the blood of Jesus. God is our Father. He cares about us. He wants us to send money on Him. knowing He is almighty and powerful and He cares about us. If we know this, then we can face this world. No matter what threw at us, we can have peace. We know we are a conqueror. We will have the victory. And one thing that I want to encourage people, you know, when you start to pray for you and pray for others, pray until you feel released. And even though sometimes you pray for people, you don't know what you pray for them, you just pray, pray in tongue, until you feel, okay, I felt a breakthrough. And if the Lord gives you the impression about somebody, call that person up. Say, hey, what's going on? You know, I just feel led to pray for you today. I can tell you this. A lot of time, when I pray for somebody and I call that person, they were amazed. And they were, I mean, I literally have people ask, when you start to feel that? And I will tell them the time and the day. And wow! I have one person I feel led to pray for them. And after I prayed for them, and I called her. And I said, hey, what's going on? You know, I just want to check on you because today I feel led to pray for you. And this person said, well, this afternoon, my son has a doctor's appointment. He will find out he needs to do ear surgery or not. I said, in Jesus' name, he's healed. Don't need to do the ear surgery. And I said, you know, go see the doctor and give me the report, or you can text Don. Guess what? After the doctor's appointment, he called me. He was so excited. He said, wow, you know, the doctor said his ear will be deaf, cannot hear for like 60% or 80% cannot hear and never be the normal again. Now, his ear here, his hearing is normal. And his ear, left ear, healing process is so good. Doctor said, wow, and you don't need to do an ear surgery. Wow. When you feel led to pray for somebody, obey the Lord and pray. Pray until you feel released. Mm-hmm. And then if Lord give you the impression, call that person up to see you can hear from God or not. To see your prayer has power or not. To see God answer your prayer or not. If the Lord answered your prayer, share with others. So others will be encouraged. And others will be willing to walk on the water. Yes, we may not know what will happen tomorrow. But the one thing for sure, the Lord will never leave us or forsake us. The Lord will lead us step by step. And peace be with you. Scott.
Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And also could be said, let this attitude be in you that was also in Jesus Christ. Jesus came to show us the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And he came to love those whom the Father gave him. So let's look at John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and read how Jesus treated his disciples. And I think I see something here about body ministry. I'm going to talk a little bit about body ministry. Just felt that unction of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Chapter 13, it begins by saying, John 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. First of all, we see Jesus was loving them, his disciples, to the very end. He was willing to show his life to them and to give up his life for them. And in supper being ended, the devil having already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? You shall never wash my feet, Jesus answered him. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon said, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Please wash. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So Jesus begins to wash the disciples' feet. And as I was reading this, I felt like he was saying, if you're going to have the same attitude that Jesus has, as we read in Philippians 2, let this mind or this attitude be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus came as a servant, bondservant, like a slave, one translation says. And he was willing to lay down his life and be obedient even to the point of death. Even to the point that he would die and give up his life. That's the kind of love, the agape kind of love that Jesus had and what he brought from God to display and show to his disciples. Now that same love is available to us today. But he washed their feet in order to make them clean and to show how much he was willing to love them. That he was making them clean and acceptable to God the Father. See, love is what makes us acceptable to God. It's not keeping the rules that made us acceptable or lovely in God's sight. But it's the love of Jesus that he showed and he came to give us that makes us right with the Father. He gives us his righteousness and he gives us his love. So we read on in verse 12, when he had washed their feet, he sat down again and said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Mm-hmm. So here is the teaching by Jesus himself about this is what I have done, now you go and do likewise. Yes. You go do the same thing. You wash one another's feet as an example of God's love for them. Because they don't know it unless you show it.
Yes.
They don't know God's love unless you are willing to show the love of Jesus Christ and that which he has shown you and given to you. He said further on, verse 16, most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. So he's saying a blessing will come when you do the things that Jesus shows you to do and tells you to do. If you look over at verse 34 and 35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So the example that Jesus gives us is also the example that we have for the world. The world who doesn't believe in him will see the example of the love that we have for one another, that we lay down our lives for each other. We're willing to care for one another. This kind of love and acceptance of each other is an example that we belong to Jesus. He says, "I give you a new commandment. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So that's everyone in the world will know that, because God has given us an example to repeat to other people. That the blessing that comes upon us, and he's saying, blessed are you if you do it. So you are blessed when you do it, not just when you receive it. What did Paul say? It's more blessed to give than to receive.
That's right.
More blessed to give than to receive. Why? Well, there's something that Jesus knew when he was willing to give up his life and heal us from all of our past and to give us new life. But Jesus here is teaching his disciples how to minister to the body of Christ, the people who belong to him. If we minister to one another, there's several scriptures that talk about this, and let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about body ministry. Verse 12, chapter 12, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So it just says that the body of Christ, the church, is one because Jesus is one. Which means we're in unity. "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, have all been made to drink into that one Spirit." We have the same God and Father. We have the same Lord Jesus Christ. "For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye. But God has set, verse 18, the members, each one of them in the body, just as he has pleased." And then he goes on and says, "We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. And Jesus teaches us to wash one another's feet." Minister to the body so that it will be healthy. The body of Christ would be whole. Now, if we look at Ephesians chapter 4, it also talks about the body becoming a perfect man or a mature person, perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's look at chapter 4 and 11. "Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man, to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ." Jesus gave gifts to the church, and those gifts, when they're used properly, will help build up and edify the church, edify the body of Christ. It says in verse 12, doing the work of the ministry. So the saints will do the work of the ministry. Oh, you mean it's not just the apostles and prophets? Or the evangelists or pastors? No, the saints. The believers are to do the work of the ministry for the edifying, which is a building up, making strong, making complete of the body of Christ. Unto a perfect or mature man in the form of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the example. And when we are complete in Him, we are made a mature church or a mature body. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of man in the cunningness and craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in Him who is the head, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the head of the body, but He has come to wash the body's feet, teaching them how to wash one another, to help one another, to minister to one another, to lay down their lives for each other. Because there are two commandments He gives us. One is to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And the other is to love each other as He has loved us.
Yes.
Even as you would love your own self. So, God in these days is causing the body of Christ, the church, to become stronger and more mature in the fullness of Jesus. And the more you know about Jesus in the Word of God, the more you will be able to see the growth. I really want to pray tonight for spiritual growth that will come in all of God's children, all of God's people. That the church will become a mature church, ready for the return of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who's coming for a bride who is, if you look at chapter 5, it says, chapter 5, talking about Christ and the church, look at 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ has also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the Word of God, that He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. You know, Jesus is taking the church to the laundromat. He's washing her. He's taking out the spot and the wrinkles. That's what it says.
It is. It does.
Yes. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Verse 27.
Yeah.
So let me say it before we pray here. That that I believe this is going to come to pass. I believe even if the church acts a little bit childish, the time is coming when that church is going to be all glorious. When the time of Jesus' return, He is coming for a bride that is pure and holy, it says, and without blemish, without spot or wrinkle. Now, if you take your clothes to the laundromat and they're dirty, you want to get out all the wrinkles and all the spots so that it'll look clean. Well, that's the way God does His people. He wants a clean people, a clean church, and one that He can show off as the glorious bride of Christ. Amen. So let's pray, and I'm going to pray for the body of Christ to come into its own holiness and purity without blemish, so that we'll be ready for the return of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank You, Lord, that You are to return soon, to come, and we can all look for that day that we will be able to join together with the Supper of the Lamb. Lord, we thank you that Jesus Christ will call all those who belong to him. And we're all part of him, and we're all part of his body. That we will take the example that Jesus did, laying down his life. The Bible says he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to even to the point of death, to the point of death of the cross. So we pray, Lord, that we too will put this same attitude, this same mind in us, which was in Christ. Father, put that into us. Help us to humble ourselves each and every day, that we will continue to learn how to be without spot or wrinkle, and help us, Lord, to share with one another. Help us to minister and wash one another's feet, so that those things that are hurting someone, we can bless them, and we can comfort them with the same comfort that you have given to us. We bless you and praise you, Lord, that tonight we can just assemble and give glory to God. That we know, Lord, that you are doing a great and mighty work in each one of us. And it's not complete until the end. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to read one more verse before we turn it off. Therefore, my beloved, look at Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12, work out your own the last part. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in you to complete his work. What we have to do is cooperate with him, because he is doing all things well, and he will complete it. Let's see. So I believe that the Word of God teaches us that God's going to finish the work that he put within us. That which he has begun, he is also faithful to complete and to finish that work, so that we will be complete like Jesus. Amen.